We are certainly grateful for your attendance here today. I know that there are some who are still struggling with illnesses, and we hope and pray that they can get over that very soon. I've been struggling with this for about 3 weeks now, and even finished up some antibiotics this week and still not able to shake it, but hopefully it will be at its completion very soon. I woke up this morning about 1:15, couldn't go back to sleep. So if I fall asleep during my sermon this morning, just keep on going. Just don't worry about it. Be understanding to your enemies. Be loyal to your friends. Be strong enough to face the world each day. Be weak enough to know you cannot do everything alone. Be generous to those who need your help. Be frugal with what you need yourself. Be wise enough to know that you do not know everything. Be foolish enough to believe in miracles. Be willing to share your joys. Be willing to share the sorrows of others. Be a leader when you see a path others have missed. Be a follower when you are shrouded by the mist of uncertainty. Be the first to congratulate an opponent who succeeds. Be the last to criticize a colleague who fails. Be sure where your next step will fall so that you will not stumble. Be sure of your final destination in case you are going the wrong way. Be loving to those who love you. Be loving to those who do not love you, and they may change. And above all, be yourself. As Dayton alluded to earlier, we talked about this particular passage that I'm going to be reading here in a moment in Bible class last week. And I had prepared this sermon a couple weeks before that, but I thought it fit in very well with what we were talking about in Bible class, so wanted to go ahead with this sermon and talk about seeking good advice. The passage is found in, in 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 all the way through verse 11. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. Now when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, he was living in Egypt, for he was yet in Egypt where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. Then they sent and called him. Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke hard. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you." Then he said to them, "Depart for 3 days, then return to me." So the people departed. King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you counsel me to answer this people?" Then they spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to this people today, and will serve them, and grant them their petition, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." I told you if I fall asleep, wake me up. Okay. But he forsook the counsel of the elders which they had given him and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. So he said to them, "What counsel do you give that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" The young men who grew up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you shall say to this people who spoke to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy. Now you make it lighter for us, but you shall speak to them. My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. You know, everyone needs good advice, but not everyone wants good advice. You've probably heard such expressions as, he's as stubborn as a mule. He'll never learn from his mistakes, and he just won't listen to good advice. As I was thinking about this sermon, I wondered why that never says she, and it always says he. But men and women sometimes are not to give, not taking good advice. There will be some people who will come asking you for advice, but often what they really want is for you to agree with what they have already decided to do. Solomon is usually remembered as the man who wrote many wise and pithy statements, which are recorded in the book of Proverbs. Also in Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon, some of his wise writings, as we've been talking about in our Bible class in the book of Ecclesiastes. But in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 8 through 10, Solomon wrote, "Do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." This is certainly excellent advice that Solomon gave. It may be advice that he learned through the hard knocks of living, because he did not live according to that advice all of the time. In fact, there are times that we read through the life of Solomon and we wonder whether he really was the man who was of great wisdom. We know that he was given great wisdom by God, but he certainly made some foolish decisions. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we learn that Solomon loved many foreign women. Despite the fact that God had advised all of Israel to refrain from associating with the people of idolatrous gods who would turn their hearts away from Jehovah. And yet we are told that Solomon held fast to these in love. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 2. And even though God had counseled with Solomon on two different occasions and warned him about turning to false gods, Solomon allowed his 700 wives and 300 concubines to turn his heart away from the Lord. God became angry with Solomon, and he promised that the united kingdom over which he was ruling would become a divided kingdom when he died. Ahijah was a prophet of God who wore a new coat, which he took off and tore into 12 pieces. And this was to signify the 12 tribes of Israel. And he gave 10 pieces to a valiant warrior named Jeroboam. And this was to signify that Jeroboam would be the first king over the 10 tribes of Israel, or over the divided kingdom. Jeroboam also advised Solomon of the divine message that he had received from Ahijah. But Solomon would not listen. Again, we wonder about his wisdom there. and he planned to kill Jeroboam. But Jeroboam escaped Solomon's wrath and fled to Egypt. When Solomon died, Rehoboam, his son, was the successor to his throne. Jeroboam came out of his exile to Egypt in order to lead a large contingency of the people to plead with Rehoboam to be a kinder, gentler ruler than Solomon, his father, had been. Rehoboam said that he needed 3 days to consult with the appropriate advisors concerning his approach to ruling. And this may have been nothing more than a delay tactic. King Rehoboam first consulted with the elders who had been in his father's cabinet. And the elders echoed the consent of the populace that he needed to lighten up from what his father Solomon had demanded of the people. They had witnessed and experienced the results of Solomon ruling the people harshly. So they appealed to Rehoboam to be a leader servant and to motivate the people through encouragement and praise. Well, we know the story that Solomon sought out some additional advice. He consulted with his newly selected cabinet, which was comprised of young men who had grown up with him and had befriended Rehoboam. And their advice was the complete opposite of that of the elders. Basically, you'd say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Expect harder work. Expect higher taxes. King Rehoboam did not listen to the people nor the elders, but he followed the advice of his cronies. And as a result, the United Kingdom was taken away from Rehoboam, just as God had promised Solomon that it would be. And he was left to rule only the small kingdom of Judah. So what can we learn from this particular text? Well, first of all, each one of us from time to time will need or seek out advice. But not all advice is sound advice. Some, in fact, may just be hot air. But we must be wise enough to seek good counsel. The best advice that we can ever seek is that which comes from the inspired message of God, just as Dayton had stated earlier. And Solomon wrote these proverbs in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. He said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." Now that's excellent advice. That we should always trust in the Lord. That we should not just assume that how we think or what we think is always correct. But we should check everything that we want to do or everything that we think according to the Word of God. But there will be occasions when you must make decisions which God's Word does not directly address. So what do we do then? Well, I believe then you should seek out wise counsel. Whom do you turn to when you need advice? Well, personally, I want the counsel of one who walks closely with God and one who also cares about me personally. I will be inclined to turn to one who has experienced something similar to what I am experiencing, and one who has grown through that experience without becoming bitter. I want to listen to one who is wise because of his years, or one who is wise even beyond his years. I don't want a yes man, but I want someone who will speak the truth, even if it hurts. But I also want someone who will at the same time be compassionate and loving with me. And I think that you would want the same. We need to pray that the Lord will give us the ability to discern between good advice and that which is ill-advised, and then provide us with the courage to follow that good advice, even though we may not want to do it. Now, are we to conclude from this text that the advice of the elderly is always better than that of the younger? Well, in this instance, it was true. In God's infinite wisdom, he has determined that men who are older and more experienced should serve as the shepherds or the elders of the flock. They are not to be novices. But age is not the only determining factor in selecting leaders, because not all elderly people are wise, and not all younger people are foolish. It should be obvious from this text that generation gaps are not unique to our times. Often, younger generations get frustrated with the more cautious and methodical nature of older generations. And conversely, the older generations are often amazed at the more impulsive and progressive nature of the younger generation. But the truth is that the church of our Lord Jesus Christ will not thrive without a proper balance. We need the wisdom of experience, and we also need the vitality of youthfulness. We also need tolerance and long-suffering and compassion, forgiveness, and love in order to arrive at acceptable compromises in the different methodologies of the ages without compromising the truths of God. I think this is so important because there are many people who are attempting to compromise the truths of God in the religious world today and even in our brotherhood. And we cannot afford to do that. But we also must learn how to be tolerant and compassionate and forgiving and loving in order to arrive at, as I said, those acceptable compromises in different methodologies. I think that certainly Rehoboam should have listened to the elders, to those who were experienced, to those who knew their way, instead of listening to those who were the younger ones that he wanted to listen to from the very beginning. But I think that we need to listen to the Word of God. We need to be students of the Word of God, study what God has to say, do everything in our power to do those things that God has commanded us to do. And in those areas where God has not provided us with definitive answers, we certainly need to use wise counsel and to seek after wise counsel in searching God's will. I hope maybe this lesson has been helpful to you. It, and seeking good advice. And I hope that and pray that each one of us will seek out people who are godly people for the advice that we need. If there is someone this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we hope that you will take advantage of that opportunity while we stand and while we sing.